All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're getting on closer to the end of it now. Been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse for a good long time. And we're hitting some of the hard spot if you didn't do well in history class at school. Don't that include about most of us? And do you ever sit in class at school and say, I'll never need none of this junk? Oh, I said that. I've had to eat those words so many times. But that's coming to school and coming to kids. It's that old thing you've seen them advertise it on commercials on TV. Pay now or pay later. I had to pay later on some of those classes I goofed off with in school. And I remember we had this, I was passing, I think, to the 11th grade, might have been the 10th, but right in that area. And we'd heard all these rumors about this bad teacher we were going to get. She'd been there for 150 years, they said, and she was tough. And she taught English, which was not my favorite subject, as you can still tell. And we were kind of dreading that class. They'd moved into the new building, had more cement steps than the old building did. And we got in there within the first two or three days, kind of holding our breath to see how bad she was going to be. And she walked out one morning and started down those steps. And as the saying went, she fell and broke her hip. Now, I'm not saying that we rejoiced over it, but something close to that, because it took her out for the rest of the year. So you know what we did? We had substitutes, and we goofed off under every substitute. We almost had a contest to see how long they'd last. Didn't last long. All right, we didn't need that stuff, we thought. I got out of school, got out of my race car business, and finally got saved and serving the Lord, and guess what? He called me to preach, and I had to go to Bible school. The first class I flunked was English class. Flunked it big. I mean, the only F I ever remember getting in my whole life, I got the first semester of college in English. They wanted to do stupid stuff like diagram sentences. Anybody remember that stuff? Diagram sentences. I'd never heard of it because those substitutes never got that far before we run them off. But I paid for that. And the dean of the students come to me. He said, look, Mickey, he said, you enrolled to graduate in the English Bible. He said, you better learn English. So help me, and I'm not bragging because I spent a lot of midnight oil on it with that English book, but the next semester I brought that thing up to a high B. Now I just wish I could remember all of it. Because what you start as a habit will stay with you. Bad habits will stay with you if you don't work at it. Well, the truth of the matter is that if you didn't do good in history, you're not going to get too deep in chapter 11 here of Daniel. I'm not going to try to do that. Years ago, after the Lord called me to preach, before I had as extensive of a library as I do now, I would go to the city library and try to restudy history. I didn't really do all that bad in history in school, but they didn't cover all the stuff that the Bible covers, of course. And so I would go to the library right here in town. It's bigger now. I haven't been to it since they've relocated it, but I would go to it and try to study up some stuff. And I knew the librarian pretty good, and so I actually borrowed some books at different times, and I took them back. But the history here in chapter 11 is accurate. Here's the big thing about it. Daniel wrote it before it happened. That's what drives the liberals nuts. Is because they can't accept the Bible as the Word of God, that it came from God. And of course, here's the proof of it. I'll not try to go through all the details in it. I'm going to go through it pretty fast. And I'll trust if you want to know more, there may be a library available to you somewhere. Maybe the one in town, maybe somewhere else. Truth of the matter is, it is so interesting how accurately secular history records what Daniel wrote in advance. That makes the Bible say, well, maybe that was the only place it happened. No, it happens all the way through the Bible. And therefore, when I read about skeptics and critics, some been in the news lately right here locally, against the Word of God, I think you know something, but you're pretty dumb. The devil's got a hold of you and dragging you to hell just because you think you're smarter than God. God wrote the book through the Holy Spirit, through the men he chose to pen the words on the page, and nothing in the world proves it any more than the fact that Daniel could predict it ahead and have it happen in such detail that the secular books today, and by the way, a lot of those history writers in the secular books, they never studied the book of Daniel. Many of them are not Christians. But when they wrote it out, studied it out, if they'd have gone to the Bible first, they'd have known where they were going ahead of time. Amen. Let's jump in here on Daniel 11. I started doing it last week, didn't get very far. And I'm only going to try to just hit a few high things. Let me say this, chapter 10, 11, and 12 basically go together. We'll be moving into chapter 11. 11 and 12, 10, 11, and 12 go together. In 10, from 10:1 to 11:1, a whole chapter, you have the relation of the supernatural beings to the earth. Do not kid yourself. Supernatural beings are very interested in earth. There are a number of verses in the Bible that teach us that. There are verses where Paul wrote about that women ought to be a testimony not only before human beings that can see them, but before the angels. Do you ever think about that? I wish I could get our young people convinced that when they think nobody is looking, somebody is looking. God knows all about it. And his servants, the watchers, the angels, whatever the categories and many different categories, yes, they're there. Peter said that even the angels wanted to look into the thing of the grace of God. You see, an angel, now there's fallen angels, but they have no remedy for salvation, the ones that followed the devil. They'll ultimately follow him to the pit. But the good angels have a hard time, apparently from what the scripture reads, they even have a hard time understanding the great act that Christ did on the cross to provide grace to redeem sinners. Because see, the angels have never needed redeeming. The good ones have never needed redeeming. They don't understand that. So Peter said they'd like to look into it. they're curious, a little bit curious about it. And boy, we got a lot to learn when we get on the other side, as far as Bible study goes. But here in these chapters of Daniel, excuse my clearing the throat, I just have to do that every now and then. The relationship of the supernatural beings to the earth, chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Pre-written history of the kings of the north and the south. Now that's from 11:2 to about 11:35. And then finally the time of the end from 11:36 to 12:13. Probably during the Civil War, there was great abuse done to folks that would read the book of Daniel and tried to read the Civil War into the kings of the north and the kings of the south. Had nothing to do with America's Civil War. People do strange things with the Bible. It's almost superstition that some use when they go to the Bible. But need to understand as we get to it a little bit about the King of the North and King of the South that's involved here. If you'll get a hold of just a few big things, it'll help you. Alexander the Great prophesied, named before he came on the scene. You know, almost the whole world recognizes the word Alexander the Great. King Alexander the Great was a young man when he died. We said it before, some writers will say, well, he died of swamp fever, of consumption, or some of the words they had for. No, he died of alcoholism. And that's a fact. He drank himself to death. And the saying that he conquered the whole world, well, the known world pretty much conquered by him. Amazing how the devil was able to use a man like that to do as much as he did. They even tried to convince his followers, tried to convince Alexander the Great that he was a god. Now, they did that with Caesar, some of the Roman Caesars and others. Nero, for instance, he's an infamous Roman Caesar. And I can't remember the one's name, but they actually convinced one of them. This is pretty dumb, but they convinced one of them that he was so much a god that he could fly. And his followers and worshipers talked him into jumping off of the top of a tall building. He flew all the way to the ground, killed his fool self. He was no god, but he kept on being praised until he thought he was. Alexander the Great didn't fully buy it. They kept trying to convince him that he was a god, but he never fully bought into it that he was. But he had all the power. He was a world ruler there for quite a little bit. And this is covered now in chapter 11 in some great detail. I'll read a little bit of it. I'm only going to try to hit the high spots, if I can even do that, of history, that I would challenge you to go read it in history and just remember it was already pre-written in God's Word. And of course, you say, well, how do the seculars, how do they deny it? Well, they claim Daniel was not written in those early days when it was, because they claimed no man could do that. Well, no man could, but God can, and God used Daniel to do it. So that's the fallacy that they have. They don't want to accept that. And most of the time when folks do not want to accept the Word of God, it's because they fear they're going to have to meet the God of the Word one day. And they are, no doubt about it. In chapter 11, verse 1, also I in the first year of Darius. Now, that's not that I do not believe that's Daniel. I believe it is the messenger that was talking, the heavenly messenger that was talking to Daniel as we ended up in chapter 10. Because he said in verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, a prince. Now, Michael had to come to deliver this messenger from the prince of Persia, which was an evil prince, Persia being the modern Iran today, and it still looks to me like the evil ruler of Iran, the demonic ruler of Iran is still there, and probably the very same spirit. It appears as you study the Bible that God allows different evil spirits to be over different territories, and that seems to be the case here with Persia. You know, we've moved to a place in America today where all the politically correct crowd is doing their best to get rid of the fact that America was founded on godly principles, on God's word, with godly men. But what they don't understand they're doing, they're trying to turn over what has been blessed by God and put us under the wrong spirit and turn us over to the devil. Nations are ruled. Now, I may have some folks here from Haiti, and you may not like what I'm about to say, but you check it out. You'll find out in years gone by, there was a time in Haiti when there was a covenant made with the devil over that nation. And you look at its history from then on. I mean, it's a very impoverished place. Now, the gospel can be brought into Haiti, and I know preachers that's gone down there, and many thousands have been saved, and thank God for it. But I'm talking about when you make a pact with the devil, it has long-range consequences. And there's others that have done that also, but you can check that out. Now, you can get mad about that if you want to, but You'll find such things as voodoo and actually spells being cast. You'll find stuff having to do with zombieism and the dead and all that kind of stuff going on down there. And we had a missionary out of our church here down there for years. He's dead now, and all the stories he could tell you was something else. And you say, well, and I know it's moved into America, but God's umbrella of grace has been over America, and we got folks that have just about torn it down now. Right. And we're going to reap for that if they're able to do it. But this demon spirit, devil spirit over Persia here resisted Daniel's prayer being answered. So I believe it's the good messenger speaking now in verse 1 of chapter 11. I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, that was the king, God had installed Cyrus and Darius over the Medes and Persians. He'd named Cyrus 175, 200 years before he was born, told what he'd do. You could read that in Isaiah 44. But anyway, this messenger says, I believe that's who he's talking about. I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. So here we see a spirit behind the king, a good king. Compared to kings in that day, Darius was a good king. And so you have a good spirit saying, I strengthened him. And he goes on now, talking to Daniel in verse 2, and now will I show thee the truth. And then he begins right here. And history begins to move right here. And much of it to start with is locally with what Daniel would be concerned about, as Daniel is a leader now in the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, just like he was under Nebuchadnezzar. So he said, behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. The fourth shall be the richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now, it says in verse 3, a mighty king shall stand up. Now, that mighty king is Alexander the Great, and history will bear that out. These kings you can read about in history. Just remember that Daniel is getting the vision, getting the message ahead of time before it's happened, and he's talking about it. But when you run parallel history with it, it'll confirm it. A mighty king here is Alexander the Great. He's going to rule with great dominion and do according to his will. But look what it says in verse 4. When he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds, four directions of heaven. And not to his posterity, in other words, his own family, his kids and grandkids are not going to get it. It's going to be broken. Not going to be given to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. Now, four directions. Here's the prophecy. Divided four ways, the kingdom under Alexander the Great. You can check it out in secular history. It was divided definitely four ways. You've got Macedonia, Greece, one part of it under his four generals that took command when he died, and they divided it up. Macedonia would be Greece, Thrace would be Asia Minor, and Syria would be Assyria, but same place that we have seen in the news today, Syria and Egypt. So you got four kingdoms that come out of what Alexander had put together and had dominion over and was ruling, and here it is written before it happens. That's what I'm saying, that the secular people can't hardly get over how that Daniel could say this is going to happen, and it happened exactly that way. Then in verse 5, and the king, well, let me say this also. This had already been predicted too. Hold in your place in chapter 11. Go back to chapter 8 of Daniel, and you see just another reference to this. Daniel was taught this more than once in various ways. In chapter 8 of Daniel, we studied about the rough goat is the king of Grecia. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Again, Alexander the Great. Now, verse 22 of chapter 8, now that being broken, whereas number four, said four winds in the verses we read over in chapter 11, but four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In other words, it's not his kinfolks that are going to be ruling. It's going to be his four generals, four different generals that took over. So there you have it predicted in chapter 8. Now you have a little more detail over here in chapter 11 as we're getting it right from the mouth, as it were, of the heavenly messenger that has come to Daniel. Now, you begin then in the next number of verses to see a blow-by-blow description of how man rules. Now you'd say, these four generals, did they know each other? Probably did. They divide up the kingdom under Alexander, after Alexander's death. But you know what they did? They did the same thing nations are doing today and people do. They fought. They disagreed. They got a conflict going. And so you almost read a blow-by-blow description now in the next number of verses of some of their fightings and their wars and their politics and the intrigue and the cloak and dagger deception and all of that business. If you read the secular story, Daniel alludes to it in a few verses. That takes volumes of books to explain it if you read secular history about it. I'll see if I can point out one or two details that is quite interesting, I think. Now, in verse 5, the king of the south shall be strong. Now, we're going to go into the wars here of the king, between the king of the south and the king of the north. And again, this is history, nothing to do with America's Civil War. By the way, we Americans have a great weakness. We think that we go through the Bible, and everything in the Bible ought to be pertaining to the world we know, but it's not. There were other important events took place. There were other nations that lasted a lot longer in history than we have lasted as Americans today, as the U.S. And there's a whole nother big world that existed a long time, even before America was settled. We may still think today that everything is swirling around us. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we play a big, important part in the world. I think that God has used America above many nations to get his word out, to do humanitarian aid. Nobody's fed the hungry like America has. Amen. Nobody has taken care of every disaster that happens in the world. The first thing we do is load up supplies and send it there. No nation like America, and why? Well, where do we get that from? We get that from God. We get that from our foundation of Christianity. Compassion and care. That is it. Compare that to what you see in the news today with Islam. What a difference. And yet they want to rule the world in their cruelty. And finally, our benevolent dictator is going to show up. That's what Jesus is. He's going to come back, and he's the only one that can fix the world. But coming back as Savior, he was the Savior on the cross. He's coming back as King of Kings to rule, and he's Creator. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And as Creator, he's going to have to fight earthly creatures to take his kingdom and set it up. The Creator having to fight those that he created because of man's rebellion and sin. How deep, how awful, how bad, how depraved a man is. Now, the king of the south here, I'll tell you who they are if you want to study them. The king of the south is, if I can say it right, Ptolemy. Ptolemy the second. His last title that went with it was Philadelphus. He ruled from 285 to 246 BC. That's before Christ, of course. So the king of the south. Truly, as I said in school, I'll never need this. You probably will never need that little piece of information. But historically, there was the king of the south that's referred to here. Then also the king of the north. You find that in chapter 11, where I get to it over here, verse 15. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount, telling about how he fought the battle. So the king of the north is Seleucus. Again, you have the reign of the Seleucids, or however they say it, from 187 to 175, again, B.C. This is history. This is before Christ was born. Daniel written at least 500 years before Christ was born. And yet when Christ was born, he had the book of Daniel, even as we have it now, and he referred to it. He said in Matthew 24, you've read in Daniel the prophet. Jesus called him a prophet. And that gives the authenticity to the book of Daniel, no matter what anybody else says. Nobody wiser, nobody knew more, nobody could top Jesus, and Jesus said the book's real and was written before he was born. Now, what the skeptics want to say is it was written after Jesus was born and after the life of Jesus, because they can't stand the fact that Daniel got so accurate on the history before it happened. All right. Now, if I ask you to repeat that back, King of the South is who? Ptolemy, okay. King of the North is the Seleucus. I may be saying that wrong. It's the kingdom of the Seleucids, however you say it. But you're going to find them fighting now. Amazing, but that's the way it is. What do we got going on today? Well, we got negotiations. We got the UN. But we still got fighting going on between the nations. Right. And that's what the devil wants. And the more he can make it, the better. And there is a good side and a bad side, but even on the good side, a lot of wrong is done, and very little good done on the bad side today, I'll tell you that. But it's never changed. Somebody said wars go on through history and will go as long as the world stands, or really until Jesus comes back and has the final battle. Amen. Somebody said war is like a ball game. If it rains, we'll hold it in the stadium. What it means is that it's going to keep on happening. A lot of truth to that. Now, let me give you a little piece of detail here as we move down maybe about verse 6 of chapter 11. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. Again, all history. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. That keeps happening today. You got this one and that, and you get this one unite with that one and so on. But notice the joining now. Shall join themselves together. Do you know how most kings joined themselves together in those days, including King Solomon? They consolidated their kingdom. They enlarged their kingdom. They increased their power by one king's family intermarrying with the other king's family. So we joke about Solomon having 1,000 wives. How could he be the wisest man in the world? I mean, how could he ever get in the restroom with 1,000 wives in line? Amen. Some of you ladies don't get that, but the men do. The truth of the matter is, Solomon was consolidating his kingdom with some of those marriages. Some of those marriages were never consummated, or as you say it, anyway, got together. It was a political thing, just a political thing that happened. And truth of the matter is also, and it's not in the Bible, but many think Solomon, in his latter years, went crazy. he lost his mind. Now, we could joke about it and say, with that many wives, how could he keep his mind? But truth of the matter is, it probably did. It had an effect on him. Now, you say, why didn't God judge him? God had made a promise to David he wouldn't judge Solomon. Solomon came on, was enthroned, made king under grace, and he ruled under grace. And God let him have a good long life. God gave him wisdom in the beginning, but he wasn't too wise in his end. And there are some old books, and they're not Bible books, so you can't trust them too much. But there are some old writings that took place even in Old Testament days that claim that Solomon, in dealing with all the wives, And all the gods, false gods of those wives. And by the way, there's a demon, basically a devil, behind false gods. Amen. That Solomon got introduced to some of that, and that's what drove him out of his mind. There's some writings that says in his last days that he just babbled, and that the people of the kingdom just made jokes about him because he was out of his head. I don't know that. That's not in the Bible. But I could see it could possibly have been. Let me give you this for time runs out if I can. Verse 6, and at the end of the years they shall join themselves, that was the marriage together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm. Now she comes in, these two kingdoms, they've been fighting, but she marries, consolidates the power together. And here's a real small detail that the secular people just don't believe Daniel could have known this. But it says that she'll not retain the power of the arm. In other words, she comes and marries in, but in so doing, the dynasty, the government she represented, she no longer has the power. She loses it. And history bears that out in great, great detail when you check it out. So the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, the power of her government. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengtheneth her in these times. Now, it was thought by her dad, I say her dad, and her kingdom leaders, that they would keep the power of the arm, that they would have equal share in the government. But the story is that the daughter, and her name was Bernice, if you want to get that, her name was Bernice, first name, that she basically sold her family out in losing the power of her government. So instead of consolidating them into one, she basically surrendered her dad's kingdom, as it were, as she married into the other kingdom. Now, again, that small detail, and yet here it is right here in the scripture when it says she'll not retain the power of the arm. And again, that shows how God is able to write these things ahead of time. Now, Daniel, who's probably 90 years old at this time, is getting this message from the heavenly messenger. He is writing it down before it happened and giving the great detail of it. It says, but out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate. Now time passes, which shall come with an army and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north and shall deal against them and shall prevail. Now again, you're going blow by blow, the conflicts, the political intrigue, the wars between the king of the south and the king of the north, and you could get the secular history books and follow it out. I'm not going to try to get any further into it now because my time is up. But again, the big thing for you and I as Bible students and Bible believers is to realize God wrote. Say, why did he give all that detail? Well, more than any other thing, to